Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're doing well today. You know, I think that when you have so many different people coming to you and saying, I've really been heavy lately, I've had a heavy week. But, you know, to just say that here in the congregation today, to pray about it, but then to spend that time worshiping God, to realize by grace we are set free. And when things get rough in your life and you feel a heaviness and you feel a spirit that feels downcast, or you feel a spirit coming on you that feels ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, you turn back to God. And I want you to know that these things will come. It says we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of heaven. But I want you to know this, that when these things come up, they are the great opportunities to refine you to be the person God made you to be. You realize that when difficulties, trials, heartaches, hurts, whatever it is comes into life, those are the defining moments when things get turned up and you have a choice to make. And that is what God wants to see. Will you run to Him? God is saying, will you run to Me in these moments? That's where the real maturity comes from as a Christian. And when you feel heavy, there's nothing better to do than to start praying. Praising God, praying for your brother, getting your mind off your own problems, worshiping God, and seeing the big picture of life. And one of the great things as we enter now this festival season is God wants us to continually be focused on the big things of life. There are huge things going on around us. Way big. Things that we have no control over. Things that God has ordained and that God will accomplish as the great creator of the universe. Now let's begin today by turning to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to turn our attention here today to the next feast that we're going to be celebrating. It's the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23, and in verse 23, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, when you begin to look at the feast, we talked about last week how there are all these opportunities to see the gospel and the plan of God. That God wants to show us what He's doing. But I can remember the first time that I actually opened Leviticus 23 and tried to understand this, and I looked at it and it looks like this feast got shortchanged. You know, there's not a lot of explanation of what's going on. You shall have a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. It just doesn't give you a lot of information. And so you kind of go in and you look at it, and when you look at the words there, a memorial basically means you're going to bring to remembrance. You're going to memorialize something. You're going to remember this. And then the blowing of trumpets. The word blowing there is translated from the word, the Hebrew, teruah. Which it basically means like this huge shouting, this loud noise. Now, sometimes you can see that it's being used in numbers for like when you would blow a trumpet. So you have the blowing of trumpets. But it has a connotation that's even deeper than just making a sound, because one of the ways that it's used is to signal alarm. There's a signaling of alarm. And teruah can also be used to have just awesome shouts of joy. But there are things that come because of what's happening. There are things that come because of what is taking place. So it's something to be remembered. So how do we then, thinking of 2 Corinthians 3 again, where we talked about, if you read the Old Testament and you don't turn to Christ, there's a veil, but when you turn to Christ, the veil is lifted. How do we begin to see Christ in this? How do we begin to see what He's doing in this? I want you to understand what makes these feasts so special, these Sabbaths of rest that come annually, is God is opening up His plan to us. I don't think there's anything of a greater honor than to sit down with a king, the king of the universe, and he says, I'm going to share my plans with you. Do you realize what an honor that is? You've gotten called to the White House. In heavenly places. You've gotten called to the throne room. And God says, I want to let you know what I'm doing. Every time we celebrate the feast, it's a time of gathering together with God where God says, I want to share with you what I'm doing. And I want you to be seeing this in Christ. I don't celebrate this, and we don't want to celebrate this together in a way that's light, in a way that's checking off a box. We want to celebrate it in the relationship that we have with God, that He is sharing the intimate details about what He is doing. And He doesn't want us to be ignorant of it. He wants us to know. And what is this memorial of the blowing of trumpets? In the book of Numbers, chapter 10, and now we're going to change focus here. We're going to, you know, get ready, put the seatbelt on. We're going to start going through verses. So you always know when David starts putting verses up on the PowerPoint, we're going through a lot of verses because I want to take you through this walk. So if you're taking notes, you might just want to just write them down. And you can read them later. Numbers 10, chapter 2. Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling the congregation and for the directing of the movement of camps. Now that word teruah is used here again in Numbers chapter 10 in the sense of the blowing of the trumpets, in the sense of guiding the people. But notice this. Number one, they were used for calling the congregation and for directing movements of the camps. So if you're taking notes, that would be a point right there. For calling the congregation and the directing of movements of the camps. Numbers 10:9. When you go to war. Right? When you go to war. There is this teruah sound. One of the ways teruah is used is as a battle cry. You know, if you've seen a good old war movie, right? What's that movie? Braveheart. Garrett and I used to talk about Braveheart when Braveheart first came out. Braveheart, remember the woo, you know, roar, shout. I'm not doing it very well. My voice is kind of gone right now. I've been talking all week, can you tell? And been talking too much. And I really don't want to belt it out. It might sound bad. So, but when you go to war in the land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm, teruah, with the trumpets. And you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Numbers 10:10. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a memorial. So in the day of your gladness. So trumpets making these loud sounds were kind of a thing that happened at specific times that God wanted them. Now, I want you to think about the contrast, because when you think about a day of alarm and a day of gladness, those things seem very contrary to one another, don't they? You usually don't have them going hand in hand. So there are different moments and different times. There are different meanings. What do these sounds, these shoutings, these loud noises mean in their time? And also we talked about that gathering together of nations. Now, let's look at this in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 to 16, because we're going to kind of take this tour here. It says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm, the Hebrew teruah. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is a day to memorialize the sound of alarm, this blowing of trumpets. This day that we read of that is prophesied in Zephaniah, this day of the Lord, is called a day of teruah. When you start to put the pieces together and understand, when you start looking at the verses to understand the leading of where this is going, there is a memorial of what is coming to pass. I want you to know that in these feasts, God is demonstrating a plan, and that plan includes a putting to an end of what is going on this earth. You know, there's a lot of good things that we can find on this earth. There's a lot of evil things. But when you look at the whole direction in which governments operate this world, we see a lot of oppression. We see slavery, uncalled, but in practice. We see a lot of corruption. We see people taking from some to take for themselves and maybe to give to others for favor, for power, for dominion. We see wars, rumors of wars. We see killing. We see murder. We see strife. We see a lot of things in this world that are very unrighteous and ungodly. And when Christ comes back to step in, it's not going to be a very happy time. It's going to be this day of the Lord where the mighty men will cry out. A day of wrath, a day of trouble, of distress, of devastation, of desolation, of darkness and gloominess. That's why there is that teruah sound. A day of alarm, a day of war. Now God wants you to know that this time is coming. Because if you know this time is coming, you can be prepared. The prophecies have been written. The prophecies are still to be fulfilled. The time of the day of the Lord is coming. Are you prepared for it mentally, spiritually, emotionally? Because in these times, what you have to rely on will be your relationship with the God who's doing these things. Remember when Elijah prayed? Said that he prayed that for 3 years there would be a famine in the land, that there would be no rain, and for 3 years it didn't rain. You realize Elijah was in that. Elijah had to go to the brook Kidron, right? He had to be fed there by the ravens. Which, all you kids listening, that's one of the questions on the Read With Me Bible test. Ravens. He was fed by ravens and he drank. But eventually, because there was no rain, even that brook dried up. And he was sent, remember, to the home of the widow. God had to protect and provide for him through all that experience. Don't think that in such a time there is any other refuge than God. Because that will be the place of our hiding, of our shield, of our comfort, of our provision. God needs it. So as much as we can do physically, it pales in comparison to your relationship with God. Because ultimately, God needs to take care of us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing in life. But this is that day that is spoken of, a day to be memorialized. Let's turn to Joel 2, verse 1. Read this in our own Bibles, Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Joel chapter 2 and in verse 1. It says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even after many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds so they run. With a noise like chariots, over mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons," or though they're pierced with weapons, it says they are not cut down. "They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before His army, for His camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes His word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" A day of trumpet, a day of alarm. Now when you look at these verses in Joel chapter 2, what you see is a similarity to the trumpets that are being blown in Revelation. The day of darkness, the day of gloominess, the day of warfare, the day of destruction. All the things that we've just read about now in Zephaniah and the things we just read about here in the book of Joel are the things that are prophesied in the book of Revelation. These are the things of the day of the Lord, the time of trouble, a time of memorial when Christ will be intervening in the events of this world. You know, it says that in Peter that people in this world will say, you know, everything just continues as it's always continued. Things just go on like they've always gone on. And Peter says, don't count this long period of time that just keeps seeming to go on and on as if the Lord is slack concerning His promises. He said there's a reason why He's doing this. And the reason is He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. How do you respond in your life to hardships when you feel like you're away from God, when you feel like you're going on a path, when you're saying, where's my desire for You, Lord? Where's my direction? Where's my meaning, my purpose? Where's the path? Do you realize the trials and tribulations of life are there to press you back to Him? Why? Because He's unwilling that you perish, but that you would come to everlasting life, that you would see where He walks, and that you would walk with Him. Everything in your life is driving you back. And I know that I can say these things in general, but you know specifically what's going on in your life. Whether you're having health issues, financial issues, family issues, friend issues, work issues, whatever it is. You know there are things in your life that are pressing on you that you can focus on and be so down on. And God is saying, come to Me. Come back to Me. Turn to Me. Don't turn to that beer. Don't turn to that alcohol. Don't turn to that television, those drugs, that movie, that music, and shut Me out. Don't look to the idols of the world. And one of the hardest things that we read when you really sense the heart of God in all of this and why this is being done is when you come to the book of Revelation and God is pouring out His wrath and He says, but still they would not repent, but they turned to their idols. And friends, we are in such an environment and such a time ripe for this to be true, where you can have the most horrific things going on around you. And people are like, how soon can we get baseball back up? Now, I'm a fan of baseball, but it is not my salvation. How fast can we get football games back on TV? How soon can we get this back or that back? Do you realize we have come to this mentality where the things that we look to for comfort, security, and salvation have no power? We are in such a time that this prophecy could be delivered. But what is it for you today? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, your mind, your strength? Are you running to Him and saying, it's just another example of how much I need You. It's just another thing to show Me, God. You are my Father. Thank You that I can call out to You, Abba, Father. That You love me, that my place is in You, Dad. The Dad who never dies, the Dad who never leaves, the Dad who is always faithful, the Dad who always wants to take care of you, to teach you, to counsel you, to give you wisdom. This is who God is. And so when your Father has you come to look at these feasts and He says, I want to show you this, I want to show you it's going to get really bad. I want to show you it's going to get really dark. Because see, the wrath of God is just a culmination, really, of everything that's been going on in this earth. It's a just dessert for rejecting God and living in a way that is selfish, a way of idolatry that began in the Garden of Eden and continues to grow worse to this day. And the only salvation is to turn back to Him. To not justify ourselves, but to seek the justification that's in Christ. So having been justified, friends,
he says, okay, let me share with you what's going to happen. So the first trumpet sounds, and this is after the seals that have already been released and the devastation that comes. But a third of all the earth's vegetation is struck. How severe would that be? We get horrified by the fires, right, that are going on in Texas right now. It's devastating when you see just thousands and millions of acres being consumed. You know, when you have things that go on throughout the earth. How about a third of the earth's vegetation? How significant would that be? What effect would it have on the planet, on food production, on transportation and logistics when things are being destroyed? A third of all the sea creatures and ships are destroyed. How many of you were around here when all the fish died in Lake Elsinore? How did it smell? Horrible. I've heard people tell me stories who lived here that said when all the fish died, the whole city stunk. Lake Smellsomore, right? Wasn't that the name? It smells a lot more when the fish are dead. So what would it smell like on the earth if a third of the sea creatures die? I think that's going to stink. What about the way we transport our goods? You realize how much our system right now is based on transportation? We are so away from growing our own and providing for ourselves. We rely on those ships to come from China, from Germany, right? We rely on the production of the things that are going on, and they rely on us too. We ship food out, we ship materials out, they ship things back. Our whole system is based on transportation. It won't take very long for that to be wrecked and ruined. Will it? See, there are things coming that are going to upset what we rely on in this earth. When you think about the Feast of Trumpets, what God is saying is, remember what's coming to pass. All the things that you think provide stability and foundation in your life, I'm going to erase those things. So you realize there is one foundation, and His name is Jesus Christ. We have to have our confidence and faith in Him. A third of fresh water becomes poisonous, killing people. We have water problems now, don't we? Trying to get enough fresh water to everybody? That's going to be a huge problem when a third of it goes away. How do you start to drink and eat? A third of the sun, the moon, the stars are dark and no light on a third of the day. Do you know what happens in the wintertime when the sunlight starts to shrink down? You know, if you plant tomatoes, let's say, here in California or Arizona, in the summertime, you have a lot more daylight, right? Because you have longer days. And because of that, you can get a greater production. You realize we rely on that. We rely on the sun to shine, to beat down on the plants, to give us tomatoes that supply people to eat tomatoes. But do you know in the wintertime, that gets cut down in about half. The production goes down about half. Some guys say they get about 40% of the production off of their tomato plants in the winter because there's just not enough sunlight. Same with things like zucchini and squashes and things people eat. I was just up in Idaho this week visiting potato farmers. And the potato farmers, they all have the same kind of talk about growing. And if you like farming, you just love a trip like this because you just learn so much. But when they're talking about the summertime, they're waiting for the heat units to get into the plant. That's what's going to grow the plant and grow the tubers, the potatoes that are underneath the plant. And they talked about the last couple years, they just haven't been getting the heat. You guys know, the summers have been cool here. We've had really cool springs. Well, they've had that too. And so they're praying basically for God to give more sunlight and more heat into the plants to produce. Because if God doesn't do that, those plants don't produce very much food under them. It changes a lot of things. And so you go scrambling for product. There's one shipper that has been growing his own land for decades. And this year was the first time that they could remember that by June they had no potatoes to pack. Now usually potatoes are harvested in the fall. They store those and they can go the whole year round to ship their potatoes. They were done by June. They had no product from last year.
was very dramatic because they didn't pack in June, July, and then August, and they just have started packing back up here again in the last couple weeks. Things can change a lot when you don't have the sun, the moon, stars, when you don't have light, when you don't have heat coming to your planet. A lot of things change. Mankind tormented for 5 months, and those who seek death can't find it. Didn't we just read that in Joel? It says they writhe in pain. Torment, torture. What will that be? A third of mankind killed in the sixth trumpet. A third. And you think about that today, that's 2 billion people. I mean, can our minds even begin to comprehend something like that? A third? I mean, even to saying, you know, 1 million, 100 million, even 1 billion. Do you see what God is preparing us for mentally? How would you feel through all these things? How would you respond to the weight of it? You see, because while these things are going on, there's also false teaching and false prophets and false miracles and false hope. That if possible, they would deceive even the very elect. There are things that will be happening to deceive, to make you doubt, to make you question your beliefs and your convictions unto God. That's why we prepare. That's why God says this is a memorial to remember the day of Teruah. Because this is what's coming, and I don't want you to be unaware of these things. Because if you are unaware, there's a chance that you will be deceived. Again, as it said, if possible, to deceive even the very elect. That's why these things are important to know and to think about. And then the glorious seventh trumpet, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ. The declaration of the last trumpet. The bowls of wrath and the battle of Armageddon then follow. The final decimation, where, as it says, if God did not intervene, no flesh would be saved alive. Because when the final wrath and bowls of God are poured out, basically your earth is not usable. There is nothing to drink. There is basically no life. Everything is a scramble. If God doesn't stop what's happening, nobody would be left alive. It gets that bad. So amazing prophecies that we have in Revelation. Know them now. Put them in your heart. Remember what is coming, so when you see it, you will know. Now notice this in Psalm chapter 47. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet, a shout, Teruah. God goes up with a shout in the day of his victory, the cry out of God to come again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to subdue the nations and to begin a kingdom anew with a foundation in righteousness, in judgment and in justice. You see, with all the terror that is coming, it is bringing to an end a peace that will begin. We've said it before, there is a certain peace that is only to be found on the other side of war. We have this in our own hearts, in our own lives. We see the challenges. When we see our weakness and our spiritual immaturity, you realize it is only by facing it and battling it that we will ever find peace. So many of us have hurts, sorrows in our lives that we put up the facades and we mask. We try to learn to live with it, to deal with it without ever addressing it. And what we do is we build a facade to say, I can exist with this. And we're just like Adam and Eve, putting on some fig leaves and trying to cover ourselves and hiding from the Lord and living in fear. There's a certain peace to be found in your life
that is only found on the other side of war. You have to go to war against the things that oppress you and hold you down by the power of Almighty God. Teruah is the battle cry. Teruah is the shout of victory. Teruah is the voice of God that comes in and says, enough! The victory is coming, friends. This world will submit to the rule of Jesus Christ. He is coming again to establish the judgment and justice of His kingdom, to establish peace without end. But it follows after His judgment comes on it. And it is the same for you and me. Will you let Jesus be king for you? Will you praise Him who comes to have dominion? It is our surrender to Him. It is our submission to Him that causes our lives to be fruitful. When we resist and say, no, I don't want to go there. Don't touch me too deep in my heart, God. Don't get too close to me. Don't have that much fellowship, that much intimacy. We're putting Him off. And you realize then church is just a big facade, isn't it? Friends, if you can't commit your whole life to God, whatever form of religion you have will simply be a facade with varying degrees of hypocrisy. God's going to make it all plain. I say, let's get ahead of the game. Let's just make it plain now. Let's get real with God. Let Him look. Let Him search out our hearts. Let Him try us. Look at the selfishness within. Look at what plagues you, what hurts you, what oppresses you. Just open it up and let it go. Let it go to God. Surrender all of it that the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may have His impact. God has gone up with a shout. Let that be said in your heart, in your mind, that God has gone up with a shout to war against what is wicked within and to be victorious in where He will be victorious in you. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is nothing that cannot be done if we believe in Him, if we have faith in Him to transform us into His very image and likeness. So He says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding, knowing how He's King for you, for your neighbors, and for this world. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. What were the purposes of the blowing of trumpets? Right? For alarm, for war, for rejoicing in gladness, and for the gathering together of people. God wants to gather. God wants to restore. And God will even gather those who are against Him to a gray, dark day of Armageddon. There is a time of gathering for both the godly and the ungodly in the day of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:29-31 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. With the great sound, the great blast of a trumpet, He will gather His saints. And it is a time of great distress when all this occurs. Notice in Luke 21:25-28. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon,
and in the stars, just to these things we have just read about in the trumpets. Guys, these things aren't coincidence. You're getting your eyes opened, if you've never seen this before, to something God is revealing that He's going to do that we memorialize on this Feast of Trumpets. With distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Look up. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? He says, notice this again. There's going to be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars on the earth. Distress of nations, right? Perplexity, seas and waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming. I mean, those are pretty awesome things, right? We can see why people would be scared, why people would be fearful. You see these signs because everything that we're being taught is, it's Mother Earth, right? We worship the earth. We bless the earth. This is our stability. This is our life. Friends, you have to have a mind that says, I'm willing and ready to live off the earth. This is not my foundation. It's clay. This body is not permanent. It's going to go away. All this flesh has to go away. This is not my foundation. My body and my body parts are not who I am. My life is in God. That is where I rest. That is where I find joy and peace and righteousness. It's in Him. So all of this is coming on people who don't know God, and they see it and they will be shaken to their core. The warning message to us is, don't be shaken when you see it. Know it's coming. And Jesus even says this, when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your head. Rejoice in the midst of tribulation and trial. Instead of letting your heart fail you, lift it up to God. Because you know the time of your redemption is here. It's the message that we take with us. It's the hope of His glorious coming. The coming of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Friends, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's real. That's permanent. God's making you to be everlasting and eternal with Him. Do you see what a blessing this is? To remember that when men's hearts are failing, when the warning and the alarm is coming, that there can be shouts of teruah in victory, the voice of triumph, the sound of the glorious King of Kings, who Himself comes with a shout. It's a mystery, friends, that the things of this world that are temporary will be replaced by the things that are permanent. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 18. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Have you noticed? This is how He's coming. You know the way He's coming. He's letting you know how it's going to be. It's a day of joy. It's a day of victory. It's a day of taking His Lordship as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's finish in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, I'm going to pick it up right here at the end of chapter 7. Nehemiah chapter 7. Nehemiah 7, verse 73, it says, in the last part of the verse here, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now chapter 8, verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. So what's the first day of the seventh month? Right. Feast of Trumpets. Right? So this is the feast we've been talking about. Here we are, an example from this day. Verse 3, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on the platform of wood which they had made for this purpose, and others stood with him there. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So what a beautiful thing. They're lifting up their hands in worship of the Lord, and they're bowing their heads, and they're praising Him. And so the people that were with them began to give, as it says in verse 7, they helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Now this, again, gets us back to what we've been talking about with judgment and justice. It's one thing to know what the law says. It's another thing to understand it and how to apply it in the heart of it. And here they are being given understanding of the law. And hopefully today you have a greater understanding of the law about the Feast of Trumpets and why God commanded it to be a memorial and why God commanded it to be kept. So it says in verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave sense, and they helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this in the context of all the verses we've been reading about the prophecies of this day of Teruah. Because it's this day that when you see the law applied, the wrath that comes for sin, when Jesus is not standing in the path, you realize that what you see in the destruction of the earth is the path of destruction that every person is on if Christ isn't there in between. Do you see that? That is the wrath that comes on all for sin. The wrath that would destroy this earth, this creation. And when we have sin in our lives, and we see the law which these people were here on this Feast of Trumpets, they're seeing the destruction in themselves. It hurts when you see the law. When you awaken to your sinfulness, when you see the penalty for disobedience. But you realize that in those moments, when you feel the pain, when you feel the hurt, it is in that time that you should know that Jesus Christ willingly gave up His life for you and me to stand between you and destruction, to take upon Himself your condemnation so that you could live, so that you could celebrate, so that you could rejoice. You're meant to be free, friends. You're meant to be alive. You're meant to know the glory of the Lord and to celebrate Him and worship Him. You're meant to give yourself to Him and to others. You are meant for so much more than what this world even begins to offer you. They don't want you to know this plan. It is the great plan of God, the plan of redemption, the plan of His holiness in your life. He wants you to be holy, filled with His love, filled with His goodness, to know what it is to share life with someone so perfectly good. You're invited. God is inviting you to this. And so he continues on here. Back in verse 9 again. He says, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." For all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoiced greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. On a day of mourning and travail, for you, friends, it is a day of rejoicing and gladness. You know, we're going to be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets here very soon. I want you to think about this. If you're going to celebrate this Feast of Trumpets with your family, with your friends, with this fellowship, I'm asking you to do this. Be ready to eat the fat. Sorry, Scott. The diet is gone. Drink the sweet and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. Who can you send a portion to? Who can you think of to celebrate this holy day with? Somebody who hasn't prepared for it. I want you to think of somebody you can send something to. To say, rejoice. I'm celebrating the Feast of Trumpets today, and I'm remembering that Christ is coming to bring good things to this earth. Enjoy this gift. Think about who you could do that to. A way to help someone else remember, no matter where they are in their lives, Christ is coming. It's what we should declare. It's the gospel, the good news for this earth. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. My son Jack had a memory verse today, and I couldn't believe he pulled a verse out of Song of Solomon. I was like, "Where'd you pull that one from?" He said, "I just thought it was interesting." And he said, "But can you help me understand what it means?" I'm like, "Wow, I was just reading in Nehemiah about this." Well, I read it, I didn't understand. I actually had to pray. I asked God, "Show me the clarity of this, because it's been a while since I studied the Song of Solomon." And it is the words of the beloved, the words of the bridegroom. Now, if you understand the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom, the beloved, is a picture of Christ coming for His bride. And the bridegroom, right at the end, he calls out and he says, I want to hear. We're waiting to hear your voice. He's saying to the bride, "I'm waiting to hear. I'm listening for you." And she responds, "Make haste." The final chapter of Revelation, it says that the Spirit and the church cry out, "Come. Come." Are you crying out for the bridegroom to come? Are you calling out to Him who says, "I want to hear you calling for me"? Is the heart that you have in your life so dedicated to God that all that you do in your life, the busyness of work and the things of this world, take a back seat to a cry from your heart to say, "Come, God. Come. Come. We need you here. Make haste to come." That's what we remember on the Feast of Trumpets. And that's why we celebrate with great joy. We have the promise He's coming. Let's rejoice.